Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos weekly class learning. So we are going to continue ahead. I hope everyone had a meaningful and uplifting Chag HaShavuos, Man Matan Torah Seinu. Very appropriate for us to continue to delve into the wisdom of Torah together in our class. So I see my mother-in-law is joining us. Good evening, Ima. Thank you for taking the time to join us here. So I also want to thank, of course, our sponsors. So I'll give them in the order that we got them. The first sponsor, who has Rizus Makdim in the Mitzvos, is Helen Wolf, and she is sponsoring the Zecher Nishmas, her father, and his two sisters, Rachel Bat Reuven HaKohen, Sarah Bat Reuven HaKohen, and Avram Yonah Ben Reuven HaKohen. May all three neshamas have aliyos and the zchus of the Torah that we will share this evening. And we thank Helen Wolf and family very, very much for sponsoring this year. The second sponsor is anonymous. She told me don't announce anything. It's actually an online listener. I've never met her before. She reached out to me. She listens to the Shir series on YU Torah. She wants to sponsor, but asked that I don't announce anything. So the Ribbono Shel Olam knows, I never even met her. Okay. So the Ribbono Shel Olam knows who she is, and the zchus of sponsoring the Divrei Torah should bring a lot of besoros tovos. And Yamal Hashem called Michelle's Libo the Tova on the zchus of the dedication to Torah. Finally, Rivka Krisher reached out to me just this morning because it is her grandson's bar mitzvah tonight. She learns with me in a number of different venues for a number of different years. So she's Baruch Hashem sponsoring in honor of the Simcha, in honor of the bar mitzvah of her grandson, Eliyahu Tenenbaum. And also a special mazel tov to her mother, I'm Zocha to know. Her mother's here from Eretz Yisrael for the bar mitzvahs of three great-grandsons, Kain Yerbu, Kenai Nahara. She came in from Israel. When I'm in Eretz Yisrael, she attends my shirim. So when this is Rivka Krisher's mother, Shotichya. When I spoke in her in Ofen Summer 2019, she was there. And then at the Kol Tai home, and then when I just spoke in Adar Bet at the OU Israel Center, she attended. So we wish a mazel tov to the entire family. And of course, we thank all our sponsors very, very much. So now I'm going to get to our learning. I'm going to begin by screen sharing with you. Okay, we're going right to the end of Perek Hey in Pirkei Avos. Okay, excuse me. So I need to know that you could see my screen. You could see it says Pirkei Avos 5. Okay, very good. So we're right at the end of chapter 5 of Pirkei Avos, okay? And you'll see what we're focusing on. We're actually focusing on the last line of Perek Hey, but we need a little bit of the background in order to get to the understanding of our shir. Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Heve az kenamer v'kal kenesher v'ratz kitzvi v'gibar ka'ari l'asos v'tzan avicha shabashamayim. It's actually a beautiful Mishnah, but not one that's our focus. It's just going to connect to something in the final teaching. You should be strong as a leopard and light as a nesher, swift as a deer and strong like a lion to do the will of your father in heaven. So that's what Yehuda ben Tema Omer keeps that in mind. Okay, then we are told from Yehuda ben Tema a number of different teachings about what age you are when you come to do different things in life in Avodas Hashem. Finally, and this is where we're going, Ben Bag Bag Omer Hafoch Ba Vafoch Ba Dechul Ba, one of my favorite teachings from the Mishnah, even though that's a misnomer, because they're all equally my favorite. But really, I mean, Mamish, every single thing is Torah. There is nothing that is not in Torah. So Ben Bagbag tells you, turn the Torah and over, for everything is in it. And you should, in this you should gaze, uvate chaze, in the Torah you should gaze, v'siv uvaleba, you should become awed through Torah. Umino lo tezui, you should not move from Torah. She'en echamida tova, there is nothing better than Torah. And then Ben Hehe teaches, and this is what we're really talking about tonight, lafum tsa'ara agra, according to the effort is the reward. I saw when I was preparing the shir that Ben Bagbag and Ben Hehe, first of all, they lived in the time of Hillel, okay, in the early first century common era, and they were converts. They were converts, and some say they were the converts who came to Hillel and Shammai and asked to be converted on one foot. Masechta Shabbos Lamed Alef, I believe they asked to be converted on one foot. Shammai pushed him away with a measuring tool, and Hillel taught him what is hateful for your friend, don't do it to you. So some say there are those two converts. So they have a lot of history and a lot of experience, and they tell you that, first of all, you should never leave Torah. Turn it over and over, everything is in it. Gaze into Torah, come old with Torah, don't move from Torah, there's nothing better than Torah. Aben Hey teaches you, Lufum Tsa'ara Agra, according to the effort is the reward. And this is what I really want to speak about tonight, this Mishnah, according to the effort is the reward. So let us now go to the source sheet that I prepared for you. So I have to do a different screen share. Yeah, I just have to find where so many... Open documents. Okay, so here we go. Then you see that it says Rav Sham Shar Falher's commentary to Avos. Yeah, so I just copied and pasted right here, right now, as I am talking to you. This is what we just looked at, and this is the final teaching of the Mishnah in Parakeh. And he teaches you that according to the effort is the reward. Rav Sham Shar Falher, in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, teaches as follows. I typed it up, and I'm putting it on the screen for you. Ben Hehe adds this overview of the plan for our life's course. So he says this is a plan for life's course. It starts with Ben Bagbag is telling you what's the plan for the life course. The plan for the life course is that you should stick with Torah, you should cling to Torah, you should move with from Torah. Even in your old age, you should learn Torah because everything is in it. And now Ben Hehe comes and he says, oh, almost like not really a PS, an addendum. According to the effort is the reward. So Rav Sham Shar Falher says Ben Hehe adds to this overview of the plan for our life's course, and this is such an important piece by Rav Hirsch. And sometimes. Not sometimes. His teachings are so profound that sometimes I think it's easier if you can see it than just listen to what I'm saying. It is not the quantitative measure of the moral and spiritual and social goals that you've actually achieved. It is not the quantity of what you achieve in this life, morally, spiritually, and socially, that constitutes the true worth of your life's course. So one person perhaps quantitatively runs through a lot of different inyanim. There's a lot of quantity. But that is not really what constitutes the true worth of your life's course. It is not in a quantitative measure, quantity, how much you have learned through in terms of morality, spirituality, in terms of social goals. It is rather tsa'ara, the measure of earnest striving. How hard you work to acquire whatever it is that you acquire. It is tsa'ara, the devoted endeavor. It is sacrifices made and privation endured. Hashem doesn't measure us according to the quantity of how much Torah, Chumash, Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, Gemara, Tehillim you learn through. The Ribbono Shel Olam measures the depth of our commitment to what we are learning. What is the quality of what we have learned? So you could open up a Bible and you could read through all the verses and you could close the Bible and you say, wow, I started Genesis chapter 1, I finished in Deuteronomy chapter 34, it took me 3 hours and I'm done the whole thing. I learned through the whole Chumash. Did you really learn through the whole Chumash? It is not the quantity of the moral, spiritual, and social goals you have actually achieved that constitutes the true worth of life's course. It is tsa'ara. It is the measure of earnest striving. How hard you work to achieve, how hard you work to acquire, how hard you work to overcome your yetzer hara. It is tsa'ara, your devoted endeavor to a life of avodas Hashem. It is the measure of sacrifices made and privation endured. How many times you held your tongue when you really wanted to say something. How many times you took the extra 2 minutes to have kavanah when you were really in a rush to get out of the house, but you sat with the bench and you said the whole Birkas HaMazon and you didn't skip through it. It is sacrifices made. That doesn't have to be only the ultimate sacrifice. It's not only brachos amech aleph, the murder of Rabbi Akiva Rachmana Litzlan. Sacrifices on a large scale and a small scale. And sometimes those small scales are difficult also. And your privation endured, all for the realization of good purposes, such as meet with God's approval, that determines the true worth of both a man and his life. The true worth of your life is determined by how much sweat, toil, effort, privation, sacrifice, earnest striving you put into being an Eved Hashem. Our actual success can only come from the hands of God Himself. It's interesting, relates to something, for those of you who learn with me Wednesday night in Shaarei, relates to something we said last camp very much, and I'm going to repeat it for those who don't learn. The Gemara says in Shabbos Lamed Aleph Aleph, funny, I just quoted it because of Hillel and Shammai and the convert, but the Gemara also says in Shabbos Lamed Aleph Aleph, that in Olam Emes we're going to be asked 6 questions. I'm just a review of what we learned last night quickly. And those 6 questions, one of them is Osakta Bepiria Verivia. Were you Osake? Were you busy with? Did you try to fulfill the mitzvah? Pru Irvu Miluas Arz Kibshuha. Be fruitful and multiply. It doesn't say that when we got up to the Shiva Shamal, the Gemara doesn't say you're going to be asked, did you fulfill Kiyamta Piria Verivia? It says Osakta Bepiria Verivia. What's the difference? Kiyamta is, did you fulfill the mitzvah? Pru Irvu. You had one boy and you had one girl. Osakta means, were you busy with it? Did you try to fulfill the mitzvah? Because because actual success only comes from the hand of God himself. A human being cannot determine the final outcome. I could do my maximum hishtadlus. Halavai, I should do my maximum hishtadlus in any effort. But I could do my maximum hishtadlus. The final outcome is up to God. A person can go for a job interview. They could prepare for the job interview. They could dress the part, know the part, learn the language, learn about the business, have the education, and they don't get the job. But they put in the effort. And that's very valuable to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The outcome is not up to us so often in life. We can only control the work we put in. That's the Fum Tzara Agra, says Ben Hey. And it's two converts who teaches this, Ben Bagbag and Ben Hey, because they know how hard it is to come to a life of Torah. And when we have good purposes, it will be met with God's approval. And that will determine the true worth of both a man and his life. For actual success only comes from God. The outcome's not up to me. It really relates, that Mishnah relates to this Mishnah. You can't finish the work. The finishing of the work is up to Ribbono Shel Olam. However, lo ata ben chorin libatam men, you still have to exert your effort. Put forth your hand. Do what you can. Im ein ani li mili. The Bartanura says, the Fum Tzara Agra, Kefi rov hatzar sh'ata sovel b'limit ha-Torah v'asiyas ha-mitzvah yeh-sichar ha-merubah. The more tzar, the more pain, the more difficulty, the more you battle with your yetzer hara, the more tzar, everyone knows what tzaros is, the more tzar that you bear a burden of, sovel, that you bear in your Torah study, and in asiyas ha-mitzvos, in learning mitzvos, yeh-sichar ha-merubah. That's how much the reward will be. The reward is not in relation to the finished product. The reward is in relation to the effort you exert to complete the task. Kafi rov hatzar sha'ata sovel b'limit ha-Torah v'asiyas ha-mitzvah yesuchar ha-merubah. The more you work, the harder it is to overcome your yetzer hara. The more you strove to understand the limud Torah, the more effort you exert in your avodas Hashem, so your reward will increase and increase the more that you work. I'm now going to quote from, it's a new sefer, Foundation of Faith. It is a compilation of insights and illuminations on Pirkei Avot from the thoughts and writings of Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb. And it was just his, this is cyclic. I really missed you on Shavuos. And I hope you got my regards from your daughter-in-law. Did you? Yeah. And I remembered on Yontif that it was your husband's mother's Kirtzeit. Alal Sham. I see you on the screen, and I was about to say something about Shavuos, which is that on the Shavuos program, the final afternoon, Monday afternoon, they had four different speakers speaking about the teaching and Derech and Torah of Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, because it was his second Yortzeit. So I'm now quoting from my Dr. Norman Lamb. Lefum tzar, it's a new sefer. Lefum tzara agra. According to the pain, that's what he translated, as the reward. That is, if you read the last word, agra, according to the pain, is the reward. However, the word can also be read as igra, high places. So this must be Aramaic. I don't know. But you can also read it as Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb. Lefum tzara igra, high places. According to the effort is the heights you will reach. Sometimes we achieve greatness through much pain and suffering. And that is how we achieve high places. The more challenging something is when you overcome it. You should all know this from your life. This should be speaking to all of you. Now, Mishnah's not only talking to me. It can be speaking to all of us. The more effort you put into something, the more rewarding it is when you accomplish something. That is how you reach high places. You all know the famous mashal about the boiled egg, right? I don't know how to, it's a famous mashal that a Jew is like a boiled egg. When you put it in, not a potato gets soft when it cooks, but an egg starts off as soft and liquidy and not strong. When you put it into boiling water, what happens? It becomes very strong. Something to think about when you sit down and you have the egg on your Seder plate. Zeichet Karba Chagiga really represents the period of our 2,000 years of Golos. That somehow, the more hot water we find ourselves in, I don't mean like a kid getting into trouble in school, I mean Rechman and Son, the travails of Golos, the more hot water we find ourselves in, somehow Knesset Israel emerges stronger and stronger the more boiling hot the water is. And through that, we can achieve high places. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb says the final word of this parak on the Mishnah, Aleph Gimel Resh Aleph, which is clearly an Aramaic word, it ends with an Aleph, also means high places. So through the toil, through the struggle, through overcoming, look at the life of Rabbi Akiva. We just finished Shvirska Omer. He didn't have it easy. He wanted to give up. His father-in-law disowned him. The maneuver in the neighborhood would have tease and bully and be rude to his wife. All of his students died. He reached the greatest heights because through the effort and the toil and the pain, he reached the highest heights. Next, continues Rabbi Dr. Nora Milam, diligence. The Gaon of Vilna, the Vilna Gaon, had nothing but contempt for those whose intellectual victories came without effort. The Vilna Gaon had nothing but contempt for those whose intellectual victories came without effort. A person needs to toil if you want to acquire Torah. I'm going to share, I'm already interrupting Rabbi Dr. Nora Milam, a beautiful insight with you. I just have to go back. Can you see my screen that I went to Sefer Bereishis? Hello? Yeah? Thank you so much. So Sefer Bereishis, Perek Chaf Ches, is Yaakov Avinu's famous dream. The last line that I read from Rabbi Dr. Nora Milam is that the Gaon of Vilna, the Vilna Gaon, the great Gaon, 1700s, had nothing but contempt for those whose intellectual victories came without effort. So I once heard a very, very beautiful var. I believe I heard it from Rabbi Shai Schachter a lot of years ago. But it's something that I found very impactful, obviously, because it stayed in my head. Yaakov Avinu has this famous dream. Vayetzi Yaakov, I'm almost positive it was from Rabbi Shai Schachter years ago. Vayetzi Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva vayeli Charana. Yaakov left from Be'er Sheva and he went to Charan. Yaakov is who? Yaakov is the Masmit. Yaakov is the Ishtam Yosheva Olim. Ohal Shoshem ve'ohal She'ever. Perachav Hey, beginning of Todos. Yaakov is the Bechir Sheva Avos. Yaakov is the pillar to tie it again into Pirkei Avos. Torah, Vodak, Gmiras, Chasadim. Each one represents one of the patriarchs. Torah is Yaakov. Avodah is Yitzchak. Gmiras, Chasadim is Avraham Avinu. What's on the screen is something else. Okay, thank you so much. Okay, so, okay, thank you for telling me that. Let's try this again. Could you see that I'm in Perachav Chesed Bereishis? Okay, very good. Okay. After all this time, you would think, usually I'm pretty good, no? Yeah? Okay, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva Vayelech Charana. So Yaakov is the Bechir Shev Avos. Yaakov is the one who, even when he's in utero, he wants to come out. When they passed the base Kmedrash, and I saw when I was preparing the Shir, actually brought down by Rebbetzin Shira Smiles, that she writes, why was he kicking in utero? Why did he want to come out? When she passes by, beginning of Todos, but she passes by base Kmedrash, he's kicking. Why is he kicking? He's learning Torah with a Malach, but he doesn't want to get it for free, even in utero. He wants to come out and he wants to toil. He wants to work. Rabbitson Shira Smaya says. So this is the great Yaakov Avinu who toiled his whole life to acquire Torah. He didn't want it for free. Even from when he was in utero, he didn't want it for free. And that's how our attitude should be in life. Sometimes I just think it's either Hashem, just give it to us for free. I'm not even talking about monetary goods. I just mean, help me just conquer the HR. Just kill him already. What do I need him for? Just give it to me for free. Just let the path be easy. It's not the path of life. It's not the path of Yaakov Avinu. He's the pillar of Torah. He's the Ish Tam. He's the Ol Shoshem and Ol Shal Ever. He's the one who, he was misrote Seitz Babetim when she's passing by the base Medrash. He doesn't want the Malach to give it to him for free. He wants to learn it on his own. So listen to this Gaval de Gvar that I heard from Rabbi Shai Shechter. Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva Vayele Charana. Yaakov departed from Be'er Sheva. He went to Charan. And he encountered the place. And he slept there, and Rashi Darshan said it fringed 14 years in Shem Ve'Aver. He didn't sleep. Can you imagine how exhausted he is? My son, we went away for Yom Tov, but one of the boys didn't come. He stayed in Yeshiva Baruch Hashem, so it seemed very haphazard. I said, do you have a bed? Like, where are you staying? So he says, if I don't have a bed, I'm just going to sleep in the base Kmedrash. And Sham Yaakov encountered the place and he slept there. Kibosh Shamish, the sun set. So if you don't sleep for 14 years because you're sitting in the base Kmedrash, you're going to be pretty tired. He goes to sleep and he takes from the stones of the place. He puts it under his hat and he lays down in this place. B'makom ha'hu, he lays down. Oh, says Zukt Rashi. In this place he lay down. But by shame and neighbor for 14 years, he's such a masmir, he didn't lay down. Vayachalom, he has a dream. Whoa, this is the first time, by the way, that God appears to Yaakov. Okay, first time he appears to Avram is in Perek Beis, Lachachom Erzchom Adchom Beis Avicha Arzah Sharaka. First time he appears to Yitzchak is in Perek Chav Vav Gur Ba'Arzah Zos. Don't go down. I'll be with you. You're the all the Tamima. The first time he appears to Yaakov. Did I say Yaakov? Yitzchak Perek Chav Vav. The first time he appears to Yaakov. I'm talking too fast. The first time he appears to Yaakov is in Perek Chav Ches, and Yaakov has a dream. And he dreams, and there is a ladder standing on the ground, and its head is reaching the heaven. And there are angels of God ascending and descending. And Hashem is standing upon the ladder, and he says, I am Hashem, the God of your father Avram, the God of Yitzchak. The land upon which you are laying, I'm going to give it to you and your seed will be like the dust of the earth. They will burst forth to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I will be with you. I will guard you everywhere that you go. I will return you to this land. You won't be in Gauls forever. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised. Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnaso. Yaakov wakes up from his dream, and he says, "Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yodati." It's such a gevaldic narrative, so many mefarshim to quote that go through my head as I'm speaking, but I'm trying to get to one, so I'm not going to share them all with you, or we'll be here the whole night. "Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yodati." God is in this place. I didn't know. Vayir, and he was afraid, and he says, "Manora ha'makom hazeh." How awesome is this place? Ein zekim beis elokim v'zeh shar shemayim. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gateway to heaven. And he woke up in the morning and he takes the stone that was under his head, he makes it as a monument, he pours upon it oil, he says, this is Beis El. So I heard Rabbi Shai Schechter, who may have been quoting the Netziv, that part I'm not sure about, say something really, really interesting. When he wakes up, Yaakov Avinu says, so God makes him all these promises, right? He introduces himself, I'm the God of your father and your grandfather, the land upon which you're laying, it's your land, Eretz Yisrael. And your children will be, I'm giving you the bracha of Eretz Yisrael. He's giving him the bracha of Puri of Rivia, that Knesset Yisrael will be strong and many. And he's giving him the bracha, I will return you to this land, I will guard you everywhere that you go. I will be your shomer, imlovan garati v'taryag shamarti, imlovan garati v'taryag shamarti. Hashem helped me, Hashem kept the bracha, Hashem did not let me lose the Torah. Children, Eretz Yisrael, not in that order, and Shmira Torah. I will not leave you, says Hashem. You will always have my Hashgacha, no matter where you are. Vayikat Yaakov Mishnaso Vayomer. Yaakov wakes up from his dream and he says, Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yodati. I can't believe it. God is here. I didn't even know. Vayira, and then he's afraid. And he says, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of Hashem. This is the Shara Shemaim. What's he saying when he wakes up? Rabbi Shai Shechter said it may have been in the name of the Netziv, but it could not have been the Netziv. Great number of Tali Tzvi Yehud Mir Berlin. Had I known, I wouldn't have slept here. That's why I'm afraid. Hashem is in this place. I didn't even know. I didn't even know. I shouldn't have gone to sleep here. And he was afraid. Why is he afraid? He just had an unbelievable nevuah. Hashem just introduced himself. It's ladder, angels, your Baruch Shalom on top. What's the problem? I shouldn't have slept here. Lo yadati. I didn't know Hashem was here. I would never have gone to sleep here. Why? Because I'm connecting it to the word of in utero, which Robertson Shira Smiles brings down. The same Yaakov Avinu who didn't want to reach Gevaldik Heights in utero for free, also didn't want to reach Gevaldik Heights for free as an adult when he's running away. He wants to toil. He doesn't want Hashem to come to him for free. He doesn't want a matnas chinam. He doesn't want free presence in Ruchnias. He wants to toil and work like he did for 14 years by Shein Ve'Aver. And now he goes to sleep. He's caught off guard. Here's the Ribono Sholem. I'm privy to such a nevuah. Had I known, I would never have slept, because I don't want it for free. Lafum tsa'ara agra, according to the effort, according to the pain, is a reward, and also, according to the effort, is the heights that a person can reach. And so Yaakov Avinu says, I would never have gone to sleep here. If I would have known, I would have had this revelation. I don't want my ruchnis for free. I want to work it as hard as it is to overcome the nisayon of Esav Harasha, my brother, as hard as it will be to keep Torah mitzvahs by the house of Lavan, my wicked father-in-law. It's preferable, in some sense, to getting the elevated heights for nothing. Because that's not why a person is here. We are not here to have the dividends of life handed to us on a silver platter. Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yadati. Had I known, I would never have slept. Vayira, he was so afraid. What is this going to do to my ruchnius? Me Yaakov, from the time I was a baby, even before I was born, I was always striving to learn it on my own, to do it on my own. The last line I just read, an amazing, amazing var, from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, is the Gaon of Vilna has nothing but contempt for those whose intellectual victories come without effort. And I just want to say, the Rav, Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav, had a term, synthetic bakias. Synthetic bakias is looking things up in what do they call them? Concordaxia? I don't know. So today, I mean, this is way past the Rav synthetic Bakidas. You could Google anything and you can find whatever pasuk you want from all the 24 books of Tanakh. This is intellectual victory without effort. The Vilna Gaon in the 1700s, they had nothing like this and nothing but contempt for those whose intellectual victories came without effort. A student of the Gaon, Rav Chaim Volozhin, who died in the early 1800s, and we call him really the father of the modern day yeshiva system, a student of the Gaon, Rav Chaim Volozhin, records the following experience. The Gaon was not only a great master of Talmud, Gemara, and Talmudic law, but he's a genuine mystic, one who had authentic Kabbalistic experiences. The Vilna Gaon, during these mystic visions, there would appear to him angels known as Magidim. This is Rav Chaim Volozhin told over about the Vilna Gaon, his rabbi, that he would have these Kabbalistic visions, and angels known as Magidim, Magidim is to tell, Lahagid, would appear to him. What was the purpose of these visits? Often the Gaon was beset by very difficult analytic problems in the study of Gemara and Kabbalah. And at night, an angel known as a Magid, someone who tells, would appear and tell him, I have come from heaven to give you the answers to some of the thorny problems with which you have wrestled throughout the day. When that happened, amazingly, the Vilna Gaon would banish this angel, the Magid, from his presence. He would chase the angel away and instruct his students to do likewise, because Torah that is acquired without suffering, without mental anguish, I'm quoting, without agonizing intellectually, is not Torah. To paraphrase Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechev, the Rav, it's synthetic Bakiyas. And Yaakov wakes up and he says, Gewalt! How could I have slept here? I don't want this dream from the time I was sharing the womb with Esav HaRosh I'm trying to get out. You think I want it for free? I want to work. I want by the sweat of my brow. I want to be chukosai teilechu to you. I'm melem b'torah. Yes, creates our heart is strong. Yes, the distractions are many. Yes, what's happening on Instagram might be more interesting than a shiur. And yes, what's happening politically on Twitter might in the moment sound to be more fascinating. And of course I have to be, you know, what other platforms? I'm not on any of them. Instagram, Twitter, I don't even know what else there is. Hey, they serve very good purposes, but sometimes they also serve purposes of the HR. Of course I'd rather be doing that. I could find all the answers with a click, 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 click. Why should I sit through a shiur? Why should I read a sefer? Why should I try and understand the difficult passage in Chumash? Why should I say another kapitel of Tehillim? I could click and everything is done for me. Today you could pay people to say tefillos for you. Why should I bother? Rabbi Zavlov says about the tefillos of the Shlach. He says, one year I saw that they were advertising. He says, people don't even have time anymore to say tefillah. Rosh Chodesh, Erev Rosh Chodesh, Sivan. It's so much work. He said, it's a long tefillah. It's too much work. So he says, I saw an advertisement. Pay this organization $18. We'll say the tefillah for you. Your children will be tzaddikim. First of all, he says, if you think your children are going to be tzaddikim because you paid someone to say a tefillah for you, vaylan, woe unto us. And second of all, what does it mean if we can't even say a tefillah anymore? We have to be able to invest effort to work hard. The Vilna Gaon would push the angels away. Don't tell me the answer. Oh my gosh, how could I have slept here? I don't want it for free. I want to work. If I'm the Bechir Shaba'avas, the father of the Shiftei Ka, it has to come. I have to set the precedent for my children. Avodas Hashem is by the sweat of your brow. Torah that one acquires, going back to Rabbi Dr. Roman Lamb, without suffering, without mental anguish, without agonizing intellectually, is not Torah. The Gaon mistrusted and distrusted easy solutions. If something's too easy, be suspicious. It can't be authentic. The Gaon mistrusted and distrusted easy solutions. Unless a man gives up his sleep and his peace of mind. I don't know about you, but my Yetzer Hara gives me a real man for my money. And sometimes he really wants to disturb your peace of mind. He does not give up his battle. You could learn a lot from him. What you learn from him is to never give up and avodas Hashem. Unless a man is prepared to give up his sleep and give up his peace of mind, unless there is sacrifice of time and energy and effort, that's what it means to be a banner of Bas Torah. That's what it means to be an Eved Hashem. Your call shows Eved Hashem. Eved means hard work. You have to work hard. And Eved's a servant. It's the biggest chos in this world and in the next world. But it's not an easy avoda. But who said it's supposed to be easy? Lafum tsa'ara agro. We saw the Bartanura. The more effort you invest, the more you are sovel, the greater is the reward. Because by us, heim amelim va'anu amelim, heim amelim ve'enim mekablim schar, va'anu amelim mekablim schar, heim ratzim va'anu ratzim. What do you mean? Heim amelim ve'enim mekablim schar, anu amelim mekablim schar. How could that be? What does that mean? So there's a famous way to understand this from the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim explains, they toil and don't get reward. We toil and do get reward. This is said by the Hadron. And a person finishes, a man finishes a Masechta of Gemara, can mix the Hadron. So this is what he says by Yisim. So how could he say they run, we run? They hey mashkimim, anu mashkimim. Hey ratzim, va anu ratzim. Hey ratzim Yoshvei Karanos, va anu ratzim lebate midrashos. Hey mamelim ve'enim akabim schar, anu mamelim akabim schar. We're not saying in the Hadron that you get reward for the finished product. You get reward for the toil. So they toil and don't receive reward. We toil and do receive reward. What does that mean? So the Chofetz Chaim explains as follows. Chofetz Chaim explains that in the Welt, okay, if somebody has you're working on a table. Okay, you work and you work and you work and you work. You're a master craftsman and you work for 3 months on this beautiful table. And the customer comes and he checks the progress and he's very impressed and he's very happy. When your table's finished, he's going to pay you. And he sees the inlay and the woodworking and the etching and the engraving. It's beautiful. The night before the customer is supposed to come pick up the table, Rachmana Litzlan, robbers come in and the table is stolen. Or a fire, God forbid, and it burns the table. Customer comes at the point in time the next day, says, where's my table? Say, well, you know, I have to tell you something. There's not really a table. What do you mean there's not really a table? You've been working for 3 months. You showed me. Where's the table? I don't know. Burned down, someone stole it, I don't have a table. So he says, I'm not paying for you. I'm not paying you. I had a party today. That table's supposed to be the showcase, the centerpiece of my entire party. I want to show it off. You don't give me a table, I'm not giving you money. There's no finished product. There's no reward. Not so when it comes to Torah and mitzvos. That's what Lefum Tzara Agwa means. That's what it means. Anu mashkimim v'hei mashkimim. Anu ratzim v'hei ratzim. Anu amelim v'hei amelim. It doesn't say anu amelim mekablim schar. It doesn't say, I'm sorry, anu mashlimim es kol hamitzvos kula umekablim schar. For the toil and the effort, the Ribono Shel Olam gives us the reward. And in fact, the more toil, the more effort, the greater the reward. The harder it is to fulfill a mitzvah, the more mesiras nefesh you have to attend a shir, you have 100 other things to do, and something is so interesting, I don't know, chas v'shalom on the TV, and you really want to watch that show at 8 o'clock, but there's also a shir at 8 o'clock, and which should I do? If you're one of those people and it's harder for you to come to shir, you get more schar than me. Because I have no time to do those other things. I'm not on Instagram, so I don't even know what's going on. I don't watch TV, so I don't even care. But you have a show you really like. I'm not being facetious. I'm being mamish serious. You get more schar than me. For me, it's pleasurable. I'm happy. I want to come here and share the Torah. But for you, you have a yetzer hara, and your yetzer hara says, maybe you shouldn't come. Maybe you should do something else. Maybe don't take 40 minutes tonight. You have so much to cook, and you have so much laundry, and you can't miss the show, and you've been so tired the whole week. Put your feet up on the chair and read your fiction novel. It's valid. You're tired. It's hard. It's the end of the week. And you still come to a shir, you get more schar than me. Lafum tsa'ara agra, because Rabbi Shalom says how precious that amelus is to me. Says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam on the occasion of his second yurtzeit, unless a man gives up his sleep and his peace of mind, unless there is sacrifice of time and energy and effort, then one does not have the zchus to acquire the mastery of Torah. The same thing is true of Rav Chaim of Elashoner himself. Remember, he told the story about the Gaon who would push away the Magidim. Rav Chaim developed a whole theory of Amelus B'Torah, the doctrine of diligence, effort, application, concentration, diligence. These are all integral parts of Torah. It's not enough to pick up the Bible and flip through the 24 books and say, oh, now I know Chumash. No, maybe you don't. Effort, application, concentration and diligence. These are integral parts of Lima Torah, of Asiyas Torah, and acquiring Torah. Rav Chaim V'Lashoner taught us, quote, more important than the knowledge of Torah is the process of learning Torah. And the process includes the painful difficulties of creative thoughts. Rav Chaim later institutionalized this doctrine of diligence, of amelus, into the great yeshiva of V'Lashon. He taught the world it's more important to study and to know. So you can't remember where Rashi says, and you can't remember where the Pesukim are, and you don't know the Pesuk off by heart, but you worked so hard. You made your effort. That's so precious to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's someone who it comes easy to. Rav Avram Yishai Karlitz, known by the name of his major work, the Chazon Ish, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, in responding to a letter of a student who complained of many hardships, the Chazon Ish writes, with enchanting simplicity and directness, Kol ha'inyanim chamurim v'kalim kim'at shelo pagashti. It's transliterated. It's not in Hebrew script. It would be easier for me than if it was in English letters. Kol ha'inyanim chamurim v'kalim kim'at shelo pagashti. I have found that everything is difficult. Rarely, said the Chazon Ish, have I come across anything in my life that is simple and easy. Kol ha'inyanim chamurim. Everything is just difficult. V'kalim kim'at shelo pagashti. The easy things in life, I don't know. I never encountered them. I don't know who encounters them, but not me. But what did he become? The great Chazon Ish. The brother-in-law of the Stipel, the uncle of Rav Chaim. Because life's Avodas Hashem. Life could be easy. Yes, it could be. But Avodas Hashem is a labor of love, a true labor of love. The harder it is for you, the more your reward. We might both get schar for the Libra Torah, but who gets more schar for the path to the Libra Torah? The one who gives up the movie, who gives up the TV show, who gives up the Instagram half hour to go to Torah, it's a much greater schar than for Michal. I'm happy to be here. I don't have any of those stress. Believe me, I have plenty of other Yetzer Hara, but that's not one of them. The person who has the greater Yetzer Hara, we both get rewarded, hopefully, for the mitzvah of the Limud Torah. But for the amelus to get there, lefum tzara agra. According to the pain is the reward. According to the pain is the highest heights you can reach, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam. This confession of intellectual difficulty, kol ha'inyanim chamarim v'kalim kemat shelo pakashti. This confession of intellectual difficulty comes from one of the greatest sages of the past generation. I want to start to end, even though time's really up, but with a vart that brings our whole shir together, it's going to take me a few minutes, from the grave of Meilech Biederman. Okay. So can you see my screen? I'm in Shir and Perek Zayin. Yes? Okay, thank you so much. So the Pasuk tells us in Shir, I'm Jody Kofsky. How are you? Wishing you a wonderful Shabbos. It's almost Shabbos for you in Australia, all the way over there, right? Yeah. And it's winter. It's winter and it's almost Shabbos, correct? Amazing. Okay, so the Pasuk tells us in Shir and Perek Zayin, Pasuk Beis, Mayafu pa'amayich, and I know this off by heart. Okay, let's go again. Mayafu pa'amayich b'na'alayim bas nadiv. How beautiful are your steps in your sandals, the daughter of a prince. Okay, it's a compliment. Shir Shirim is a love story between the Ribbono Shel Olam Knesset Yisrael. And the Pasuk tells us in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Beis, Mayofu pa'amayich b'na'alayim bas nadiv. How beautiful are your steps in your sandals, the daughter of a prince. This is referring to Knesset Yisrael. And the Gemara says, what is this talking about? This talking about when the Jew would go to be Olah L'Regel. We just had Shavuos. If it was the time of the temple, so we would have all been Olah L'Regel. This refers, the Gemara says, to when the Jew goes to be Olah L'Regel. How beautiful are your steps and your sandals, the daughter of a prince, refers to the Jew being Olah L'Regel. Rav Meilech Biederman says, that's what refers to being Olah L'Regel? How beautiful are your steps and your sandals? When the Jew is walking from the Negev, 2 weeks, he's schlepping with his bikurim, and the Mishnah says, if you live far, you're going to bring raisins, because what's going to happen to the grapes on a two-week journey in the sun in the Middle East? They're going to turn into raisins, says the Mishnah, bikurim. I think it's the beginning of Perek Gimel. So you're schlepping your bikurim, and there's the ox in front of the procession, and the kids crying in the wagon, and you have every provision that you need for the 2 weeks, step after step after step. That's so beautiful. It should say, You want to refer to being Odol HaRegel, talk about the miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. Talk about Omdim Tzufufim Mishtachavim Ravachim. When they all stood in the Beis HaMikdash by the time of the other regal, it was squishy when they were standing, but when they bent down to prostrate, when they heard the Shema Farsh, there was room for everybody. Talk about the Birkos Kohanim. Talk about the Eish HaMa'aracha that was never extinguished. Talk about the fact there was never a fly in the Beis HaBitvachayim, in the slaughterhouse on Har Bais, there was never a fly. Talk about the fact that a woman never miscarried. Talk about the fact that the whole Yerushalayim smelled like perfume from the Ketores. You want to talk about being Odol HaRegel? You tell me it's so beautiful when the Jew walks in his sandals, in his dusty sandals. That's what it means to be Odol HaRegel. There's not any miracles on top of our bodies that you can tell me represent the beauty of being Odol HaRegel. So I think that this insight is going to really sum up our entire shiur of what it means, the Fum Tzara Agra. Ramaylich Biederman Shlita says as follows. What happens when the Jews walk up to be Odol HaRegel? Every step, he encounters the Yetzer Hara. Maybe I should really go home. Who's going to take care of my fields? Maybe bandits will come and ruin the fields. Who's going to take care of my house? How could I leave my job for 2 weeks? I'm so tired. It's so hot. I hate the heat. I forgot to pack water. I really think I need to go home. And he keeps walking. He walks a little more. And then the Yetzer Hara says, wait a minute. Did you lock the barn? Wait a minute. Did you cover the grapes so that the vineyard won't get ruined? Wait a minute, did you put away the cheese in storage so it won't spoil? Because I couldn't just go to the fridge and go to Cold Save and go to Gourmet Gun and go to Seasons and buy a new one. Wait a minute, does the donkey have enough food? I think I should really go home. And he keeps walking. And then he says, oh no, I forgot my Yantav Kovic. Maybe I should really go home. And he keeps walking. And he says, I'm exhausted. I can't do this anymore. I'm just going home. I want to lay in bed. I'm going to sleep in. Forget Minyan. Forget Aliyah Regov. Forget the Korban Pesach. Forget the Bikurim. And he keeps going. Then he gets to the Beis HaMikdash. He slips off his sandals, because you're not allowed to wear sandals up, shoes on top of our bais. And he has no more doubts. Of course this is where I'm supposed to be. Wow, I see the Ribbono Shel Olam Kav Yochel. It's the Shema Meforash. It's all the Jews. It's all the miracles I listed before. Of course I'm supposed to be here. What's more precious to God? The Jew who's working so hard to walk there and fighting his Yetzer Hara every step of the way. The Jew who's standing in the Beis HaMikdash and everything is so clear and he has no doubts anymore. The Gemara says, Shir Hashir and Perek Zayin Pasuk Beis, Mayafu, how beautiful is it, pa'amayich, your steps, b'na'alayim, in your sandals, bas nadif, when everything's easy for you, when there's no doubts, when there's no lefum tzara agra, there's no reward once you're in the Beis HaMikdash itself. It's so obvious that there's the Shechina. It's so obvious that's where you're supposed to be. You're not working hard anymore because it's clear. But that two-week journey from Be'er Sheva, that two-week journey from the Golan Heights, that schlepping, those doubts, and you overcame with every single step and you pushed forward. That is so precious. That toil, those doubts, that walking when it's hard for you, the perseverance, the dedication, not the quantity of your walk, the quality, to paraphrase of Sham Shem Falahosh, of your walk. It's the most precious thing to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Acheni Shashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yadati. Had I known, I would never have slept. I don't want it for free. It's too easy. From the time I was in Mibatan, says Rabbi Shinshir Smiles, I wanted to come out. Why? Because I didn't want anything for free. I didn't want Torah then for free. I don't want God's revelation now for free. Only according to the effort and the pain is the reward. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb says, according to the effort and the pain is the greatest heights a Jew can reach. So the next time you're walking and struggling, halavai, we should be zechut to be walking to be Olah L'Rega, and the HR gets in your way, and he tells you to do all those other things except your Avodah Hashem, keep plowing ahead, because those steps of doubt that you overcome, the sweat of your brow, the toil of your mind, the dedication of your heart, the tears of your eyes, and the prayer from the depths of your neshama are the most precious thing to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So while it's true, lo alacha hamlacha ligmar, the end product is up to God. Oh, ata ben charin li batal mimena. Hope it's the right chizuk for everybody. I think we all need the chizuk. It's a hard avoda, to keep plowing ahead when the Yetzer gets in your way. But the most precious thing to God is not when everything is clear and it's easy, and it's difficult and you keep going. That agra, that reward, how do you pronounce the word? You know what I'm trying to say? I know what I'm trying to say. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's boundlessly greater than when there's no toil and no struggle and no striving. So I thank very, very much our sponsors, Helen Wolf, the Zecher Nishmas, her father and his two sisters. May the Neshamas of Rachel Bar Ruvain HaKohen, Sarah Bar Ruvain HaKohen, and Avram Yonah Ben Ruvain HaKohen truly merit an aliyah on the Zechus of the Torah we shared. I thank our anonymous YU Torah sponsor, for YU Torah listener who reached out to me to sponsor. I do not even know who she is, but God does, and he should repay her reward. And finally, we wish Rivka Krischer and the whole family a special mazel tov to the great-grandmother in honor of the bar mitzvah of Eliyahu Tannenbaum. A big mazel tov. I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. Be'ezrat Hashem, I will see you next week. Thank you so much. Shabbat shalom. Kol tov to all.